And we're going to have a short message tonight from Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to look at the first four verses of chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and the first four verses, and it say these wonderful words: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." Now there is another reading in the book of 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel and chapter 2 and verse number 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30. And it's a phrase in the middle of the verse, but let's read the whole verse. "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Amen, and may God bless his word this evening. I was going to speak to you today on the subject of the greatest words ever spoken. These words are absolutely wonderful. They come from Luke's Gospel and chapter 23. And it's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I can think of really no greater words than these words. The fact of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his Father, the fact he was obedient to his Father, the fact that he loved the world so much that he wanted them to be forgiven. And I just rejoice that on that cross, the Lord Jesus said those words, "Father, forgive them." And with compassion, he looked out upon a world made up of the same type of people called sinners. And in his love, his arms were stretched out and he bowed his head and died there for our sins. I just praise God for those greatest words that were ever spoken. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I hope tonight might be a night of forgiveness in the life of some. But I've thought tonight that I'll speak on a rather simple subject, and it'll be very brief tonight. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the Olympics. The Olympics are just 1 week away. I was saying to some older people today that you would have had to be on the moon if you had missed the Olympics coming. For over 6 years now, our country has been planning these Olympic Games, and who can forget the scenes when all the athletes and David Beckham and all the others were there in that room there, and they heard the news that Britain had won the Olympics. Well, won the right to host the Olympics, that is. And they were all jumping out of their chairs, cuddling, hugging each other. And the day has finally come, just about 6 days from today, when that Olympic torch will finally make it to Stratford in London. And there amidst the world's media, the flame will be lit, and the flame will burn forth for 3 to 4 weeks, and great Olympic feats will be done there in our land. But I want to speak to you now, not now of 2012, but I want to go back not quite 100 years, but to 1924. To think not now of the Olympics in London, but the Olympics in Paris. And it all makes sense what the readings were this evening. I want to think specifically of one athlete. His name was Eric Liddell. He was a young man who did a marvellous feat there in the Olympic Games in Paris in 1924. It's a little known fact that not only did he win his 400 metre race, he was a 100 metre runner. But you know that he did not run on the Sabbath. He would not run on the Sunday. And so instead of running on the Sunday, he ran in the 400 metres and he qualified for the finals. And not only did he qualify for the finals, but he won his race. And he broke the world record. And he received the applause of the crowd as around his neck was placed That gold medal, well, tonight I want, with the help of God, not to speak so much about Eric Liddell, but I want to just use him as our little heading tonight so we can think about the Lord Jesus Christ and this glorious message of God's wonderful salvation that we can have as a possession of ourselves. I want to think, first of all, of the beginning of the race. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever entered into a race. I have a few times when I was a little bit younger. This sounds terrible, but you know, I never really did much athletics at school. Not because I wasn't very good at it, but I was sort of head in the book. That was the kind of person I was. And I wish I'd had my head a bit more in the books and got better grades at school than I actually did. But never mind, that's the way it was. And I was one of those lads that didn't really do too much in the athletics. But I like to watch the folks doing the athletics. And I like to think about the beginning of the race and all the preparation that these people had to make as they began the race. In 1924, at those famous Paris Olympics, they didn't have starting blocks. They didn't have all the modern, sophisticated electronic timing that they have nowadays. But in their little case, they had a trowel, a little silver trowel. And in the cinder track there in Paris, they dug a little hole in the ground that at the very beginning of that race, they might have the very, very best start in one's life. I want to think not now of the beginning of an athletic race, but I want to think about the beginning of the race that we have been in, the race of life. Not one of us chose how we started our race. I was born in Dundee. I had no control over that. That just happened to be the place I was born. My dear wife Audrey, she was born in Perth. She had no control in that where she was born. She had no control over the family, nor did I. We were placed in a family by God, but there was one thing that characterised every single person whose feet have touched this earth. We are all characterised by this, that we are all related to one man, and his name is Adam. Let's turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 5. I want to read a couple of very interesting verses about the beginning of a race. Here we are, we all have begun the race, but I like to say that the Bible teaches us that we've all begun the race in the same manner. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We all began the race with the same burden and same problem that each one of us have, and that burden and that problem is the great and awful problem of our sin. And no matter whether you began the race in Fife, or in Perthshire, or in Dundee, or in Angus, or not even in this country, we all began the race with the same problem. Says the scriptures, oh, you've heard it here hundreds of times, no doubt. For all have sinned. Now, these are not trite phrases. These are words from the very Spirit of God that a person might wake up and realise that we all began the race of life with one disadvantage, that we were sinners. Let me tell you, friend, not only were you born in sin, but the Bible clearly tells us that we also practice sin. My parents brought me up very well. Brought me up to behave myself, brought me up to go to school, brought me up to be neat and tidy. They did their very best for me. But inside that little nice little boy that they put out every morning was a lad that was full of sin. A lad who knew how to lie. A lad who knew how to cheat. A lad who knew how to disobey his parents. And where did that come from? It's the burning nature of sin inside my heart and the working out of that sin in my life. And that sin was getting a grip of me. And my life was in a sinful position. And so it is with each one of us. Whether you're smart, whether you're young, whether you're neat, whether you're old, it doesn't matter. My friend, we're full of sin. And because of that sin is an absolute abhorrence to the holy God. God cannot look upon our sin. And because of that, heaven's door is closed to us tonight because of our sin. Isn't it tragic that we began that race with sin? Eric Liddell, the great athlete, he began his race in the land of China. He could have been officially classed as China's very first athlete. Oh yes, he was Scottish through and through. Scottish parents, growing up there in Scotland, grew to love the city of Edinburgh, ran around the hills and glens of Scotland. But he was really a Chinaman. He had no control over that place of birth. But my friend, you can have control over one aspect of your life. It's what the Bible calls the new birth. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, maybe you could read it for yourself at home. There's a most interesting story of a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man who had risen to the very top of his society. And he came as a man who was at the top of his society, and he came one night to meet the Lord Jesus. And there a man who could glory in being the top of his society came to Christ. And the Lord Jesus looked him man to man, eye to eye, and said directly to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." It mattered not Nicodemus' natural birth. It mattered not Eric Little's natural birth. What mattered was a spiritual birth. When a person comes and leaves behind their sin and falls at the feet of Christ and asks him to be their saviour and repent of their sin, well, praise God, if a soul comes like that, they can be gloriously saved this very day. And wonderful that Nicodemus, he was found trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Your natural birth you have no control over, but you can have a wonderful spiritual birth beginning the race. But I thought about not only beginning the race, but Eric Liddell, when he was an athlete, he had to choose the race. He had to choose which sport he was going to participate in. Was he going to participate in rugby? He was very, very good at that. Scotland's fastest rugby player. Or was he going to play football? Oh, he liked to play football with the children. Or would he play athletics? Or would he do cycling? What would he do? He was a man of great talents, a man who was a great cricketer, a man who was talented in every single sport he played. But he had to make a choice. What race would he participate in? The story is told that when Eric Liddell was just born, his father went to the registrar's office in China to register his birth. And as he got to the registrar's office, the registrar asked his name. And Mr. Liddell, the father, said, "I will call my son Henry Eric Liddell." He wrote down Henry Eric Liddell. And a friend began to correct him. "Do you really want to call your son the initials H-E-L, Hell?" And I thought for a minute. The man who was born had to stamp the mark of hell upon his life. And the father immediately changed his mind. He says, "No, I'll call him Eric Henry Liddell." Instead of the mark of hell, he decided that he would call his son Eric instead of having that mark of hell upon his life. And I think of this tragedy in our lives, that over all our lives there is a mark of hell, and there is a desire and the propensity of ourselves not to set our face upon God and upon His holy and righteous things, but to turn our back upon the Lord. I think about the people that stood at the foot of the cross, and so heartily they cried with anger in their voice, "Away with Him. Away with Christ. We will not have this man to reign over us." And they had the mark of hell upon their lives because they had no time for Christ. And so it is that the man before you tonight is no self-righteous, pompous person. I'm the same as you all. I have the mark of hell upon my life. The fact I was a sinner rejecting Christ with no hope in this world, with no joy, no peace, and no salvation. And I came as a little boy and I asked Christ, who had died upon that cross, to save me from my sins, that He would snap those chains, the chains of hell, and take me to be with Him forever. There is a man in the Bible and he lifts up his eyes and he's in hell and he's in torments. And one thing about that place that this man who's in torment says is, "Send someone to warn him not to come here." How tragic that millions of people in our society are more interested in sporting events, television events, entertainment, than being rescued from hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to rescue us from hell with arms of love stretched out that a dear soul might be saved. Choosing the race, that father made a choice for his son that he would not have the mark of hell upon his life. But that father could not choose for his son whether his son would be saved from his sins. It is an individual choice that a person has to make. You can bring up your children well and they won't make the same life choices as you. You can tell your children about the Saviour, but they won't necessarily believe in the Lord Jesus that you have believed in. And there, that father, he taught his children about the blessed Lord Jesus Christ with passion and with love upon his heart. But praise God, in the United Kingdom, not in China, at school, Eric committed his life into the very hands of Christ. He realized that the one who had died on Calvary's center cross was the Savior of this world, the one who could become Eric Liddell's Savior. And written over Eric Liddell's Savior was the words, "A sinner saved by grace, a soul who was bound for hell, and now trusting in Christ, because he had bowed a knee and repented and received the Lord Jesus Christ." He made that decision that he would choose Christ as his Saviour. I want to ask you very tenderly tonight, have you made that decision yet? It's the greatest decision you could ever make. I've maybe told you this before, but I was in St. Andrews many years ago. I was only 19 at the time. And Jim McMaster was the speaker. And he said these words, which I thought just summarised it beautifully. He says, at a gospel meeting, everybody makes a choice. And I thought maybe that wasn't the case, but he was right. He says, everybody makes a choice. Some choose to believe in Christ, and some choose to reject him. Some choose to believe in the lovely Saviour of the world. Some choose to reject Christ, the Saviour of this world. And Eric Liddell made that decision to choose Christ. He chose the best race to be on. Why would you want to run the race of life without Christ? Why would you want to run the race of life without the blessed Saviour? Well, millions of people do that, and they make the worst choice, because at the end of life, there is the awful wrath and judgment of God upon sin. Oh, dear friends, come and choose the right person to run the race with. But not only that, there's hurdles on this race. For Eric Liddell, as a little boy, he faced perhaps the greatest of hurdles. He took ill. And the doctor and all those looked at him and they drew the conclusion. And a family friend says this, of this little boy, "I'm sorry to say, Mr. and Mrs. Liddell, but your lad will never be able to run again." Oh, as a little boy struck down with disease and never able to run again, well, we know that he was able to run again. We know that he was able to win that Olympic game medal. We know that he was able to break the world record. And how was it? Well, God was gracious and kind. But there are so many hurdles on the race. I want to tell you, friend, that if you became a Christian tonight, it is not all plain sailing. Maybe I'm mixing my metaphors, sailing and running, but never mind. It is not all plain sailing or all plain running in life. Life for a Christian will be full of hurdles. Did you know that the term sin is an archery term? Have you heard that before in the Olympic Games again, starting in a week's time? There at the Lord's Stadium, they'll be playing archery, usually famous for cricket, but now for archery. And as the arrow misses the target, that is called a sin. It missed the target. And so in our life, we have missed God's target. We've all fallen short of God's ideal. It's a sin. And sin is the greatest hurdle that we have to overcome. That sin is impossible for you and I to get over ourselves. You know, if the hurdle was placed at maybe 3 foot high, I could maybe get over 3 foot high. If it was placed at 4 foot high, maybe I'd be struggling, but I might just get over it. But if it's placed at 6 foot high, there's no way on earth that I would be able to get over that hurdle. And no matter how high the mark is, we just are so far short of God's perfect standard. That righteousness of God, that holiness of God, that perfection of God. We have no idea how righteous and holy God is, and we just cannot come anywhere near that. And that greatest of hurdles, it cannot be broken down by us. But the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And our dear soul, they can't trust in self-effort. They can't trust in making a good effort to get to heaven. No, you trust in one who shed His precious blood for you to be saved. We remember the little illustration from the Billy Graham organization. Man is on one side, God is on the other side, and there's a great gap between the two. How can man and God be joined together? Well, there is only one way, and that was through the cross of Christ. And dear soul, I point you again to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might come and leave behind the greatest of hurdle, the hurdle of your sin, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sin, and ask Him to forgive your sin and repent of your sin. And that gap between God and man will be crossed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great mediator between God and man, the hurdles on the race. If you were to become a Christian tonight, there would be three great hurdles that you would be facing. Now, when I was at school, we did do the hurdles. I wasn't very good at them. I think it was easier to run round them, but in a real race, you can't run round the hurdles. You've got to cross over the hurdles. And as a Christian, you can't run round the hurdles. You have to face up to the hurdles. The first hurdle that you're going to face is facing the hurdle of this world. How might a person who has trusted in Christ and called upon Him for salvation and believed in the Lord Jesus and found hope in Christ and found peace in Christ be able to overcome this hurdle, the great hurdle of the world and all those that are trying to pull you down in that race? Listen to what the Hebrews writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's only one way that you will win that race. It's fix your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. As you set your affection on things above and look at Christ, the hurdle of the world will seem a hurdle that's able to be overcome. I remember though Peter, there he was walking in water, overcome the physics of water, and he took his eye off Christ and he began to sink. I'll tell you this, dear beloved friend, if you become a Christian, the day you take your eyes off the Lord Jesus will be the day that you begin to sink and the hurdle of the world will seem insurmountable for you. But there's a second hurdle. It's called the flesh. The Bible verse tells us there, it says there, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If I tonight was to go down to Stratford and get into training for the Olympic 100 metres, I would have to leave my rucksack off. Might even leave my day sack off. And might take my football boots off and put on running shoes because you've got to lay all aside your weight. I'd take my jeans off and put a nice pair of shorts on. Instead of wearing a shirt and tie, I'd put a t-shirt on because all the weights had to be laid aside if I was to win the Olympic 100 metres. Don't be deluded, I wouldn't win. But that's what you'd have to do if you were to win these things. And so it is, if you're to face with the flesh, you're to lay aside all the weights of the flesh. The things that drag you back to the world. The things that drag you back from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, recently I was wondering why I couldn't pray very effectively. Why I was struggling with prayer. Why was it? Because I wasn't reading the Bible as much as I should be. And therefore, I was struggling in the very simple matter of prayer. The flesh was getting at me. And I was trying to do things in my own strength. And friend, if you're going to have that hurdle of the flesh before you, you need to look off unto Jesus and lay aside all the weights that so easily beset you. But there is a third enemy. And that enemy is the devil. I shudder to talk about him. One who's evil. One who's vile. One who makes you ill. The devil. He's a great enemy of the believer. But there's a lovely verse in Scripture that gives encouragement to each Christian's heart. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the Lord says, I have overcome him. Isn't it wonderful? That we can look off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who has finished the work, the one who's completed the work that God has sent him to do. And the hurdle of the devil, it seems insurmountable, but our blessed Lord Jesus Christ has overcome that wicked one. And if we cling on to him and look off unto him, he's the one that will help us on our walk for Christ. I don't know how you're getting on with the hurdles of life, but the secret is there in the verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Eric Liddell, he ran that race, and he won that race, and he was rewarded that prize because he had won that race, and he had won it lawfully. Now I want to think now of the decisions on the race. In 1924, Eric Liddell made a momentous decision. If you've seen the film Chariots of Fire, he's climbing the steps of the boat to go onto the boat to sail to from Dover to Calais. And on that boat, he hears from a journalist that the Olympic heat for the 100 metres is on the Sunday. That's not the true story, though. He had heard many months before that the Olympic heat for the 100 metres was on a Sunday. And Eric Liddell had made a decision that the Lord's things would come first, and he would not run. He had made a brave decision that he would not run the Olympic heats on a Sunday, and he just prayed for the Lord, that the Lord would open up a way whereby he might be able to glorify God, despite the fact that he couldn't compete in his very best event. He made a principled decision. I want to ask you tonight about what decisions you made. Have you made that vital decision to trust in Christ? Oh, I remember the day I did it. 9-year-old boy in a little bedroom in Perth, and I made that decision to trust Christ, and he changed my life forever. Why should I go back? Why should I do the world's things? Why should I do the flesh things? Why should I do the devil's things? He's a wonderful person, is Christ. And Eric Liddell made that principal decision that the Lordship of Christ would reign over his life. You see, it's a big price becoming a Christian. It's not some sort of cheap thing. It's not some sort of light-hearted decision that you should make because the music's nice and the speaker was good. Not at all. It's a deep commitment to Christ and repentance and faith in him. And Eric Liddell made a deep decision that day that was going to cost him much, that he would not run that race on that Sunday. He made that principled decision. Have you made the decision to follow Christ? And if you made that decision to follow Christ, you'll need to make deep decisions in your life to put him not first in your life, but everything in your life. The Bible class leaders used to say to us, and I hope you've probably heard it before, but they used to say, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And I'll tell you, dear friend, if you become a Christian, don't follow Christ half-heartedly. Follow him absolutely, wholly. Make him Lord of your every life. That you would obey him in baptism, obey him in church fellowship, and obey him in how you speak and how you dress and how you act and how you behave, that Christ might be your all in all, that people might look upon you and not see you as a person, but might see Christ shining out from you. The decisions of life, the principal decisions that Eric Liddell made to choose to follow his Lord. I thought of Joshua standing before the people of Israel, and oh, they were rebellious. And he stood before them in Joshua 24 and says, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The nation of Israel, they made all kinds of strange decisions. They even bowed down before false gods. But Joshua stood there and said, I've made a decision. I'm going to serve the Lord. I trust and pray that that might be a decision in your life, that you follow our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to think finally about winning the race. You see, I've not really said too much about Eric Liddell's running ability. He qualified in July 1924 for the 400 metre final. I said already that his event was 100 metres. So he was now running an event four times longer than he normally would. That would be some effort. And he got into the final. He qualified for it. And he was given the outside lane to run in the 400 metre final, the worst possible lane you could ever have. You start in the furthest forward position. You cannot see anyone behind you. And the way the lanes work is just as you're approaching the final straight, you should really all be in the exact same position. It's only at the very final straight do you see how close the other athletes are to you. Eric Liddell was drawn in that final lane. For the first 100 metres after the gun had gone, he ran as fast as he possibly could. For the second 100 metres, he continued running as fast as he possibly could. They mocked, thinking that this lad, his energy would go on after 200 metres. But as he continued running at 300 metres, he continued at that same pace, sprinting his way around the track until he came to 400 metres and the line was before him. And with head back and with eyes closed, he set himself towards that finishing line and he breasted the tape. And to the applause of the audience, Eric Liddell had finally run that 400 metres and he breached the tape and he won the world record and the Olympic gold medal. The interesting fact is he was the only man in the 1924 Olympics from the British squad to win two individual medals. He won a bronze medal in the 200 metres and a gold medal in the 400 metres. The only person in the British Olympic squad to win an individual medal. USA was at the greatest achievement, the greatest day of Eric Liddell's life. Not at all. Winning the race for Eric Liddell was not about the plaudits of men. He came back to Edinburgh. He graduated from university just a few days after winning the Olympic gold medal. Oh, the crowds gave him great rapturous welcome. But very shortly afterwards, Eric Liddell made really the second greatest decision of his life. The greatest was to trust Christ. He made the second greatest decision of his life, to leave it all behind. To count it all, says the scriptures, as dung, that he might win Christ, gain Christ. And he left it all behind. And he went off in obedience to the call of Christ to be a missionary in China. You imagine it. He went from a land of being the greatest athlete ever born in the land of Scotland to being a nobody in the land of China, in a land of utter poverty and destitution. Sitting there with boys and girls and telling them about the Saviour. His greatest achievement was not winning the Olympic gold medal, but was to sit with a few boys and girls at his feet and tell them of the Saviour of the world and point boys and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ, winning the race. Eric Liddell's life was cut short. He wrote to his wife saying that he'd had a nervous breakdown. By this time, the Japanese forces were knocking on the door of China, and there was great trouble there in the land of China in the 1930s. And the British people, who were great in the presence of China at that time, they were locked up into effectively a prisoner of war camp. And there in the prisoner of war camp, with medicine scarce and nutrition poor, Eric Liddell's health began to deteriorate. He wrote to his dear wife, who was in Canada, and said that he had a nervous breakdown. It wasn't a nervous breakdown that Eric had, it was a brain tumour. And within a few weeks, Eric's life had been very much cut short. And he died there in China. He had won the race. Because the Bible tells that a Christian who finishes the work that God has given him to do has finished and completed the task and receives now the victor's crown. You know, none of us here in this room will probably ever win the Olympic 100 metres. But the Bible says this. For every child of God who finishes the work that Christ has given them to do and goes into the presence of God in death, listen to what these words are. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And that victor's crown is put upon one's head. The interesting thing is, we're not glorying in our own crowns. In the book of Revelation, the 24 elders in the book of Revelation, they take the crowns from off their heads. And they throw them down at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, thou art worthy. Eternity will not be about thinking about us with a crown, but eternity will be thinking about him with a crown. Christ the Lord, who died upon the tree to save us from our sins, to give us eternal life. Eric Liddell finished the race. He finished it wonderfully because he went straight into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder about you, dear friend. Life is short. Eternity is sure. How will you finish that race? Says the Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus that night. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Eric Liddell's in heaven, not because he's a good runner. He's in heaven because Christ became his Saviour. May God bless you tonight, and may you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this short time we've enjoyed to consider our Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful work there at the cross. We just are marvelling, Father, that he would ever die for us, that he would ever shed his precious blood for us and ever die to set us free. And Father, we pray that dear souls would receive the Lord Jesus tonight. We think of the Olympics, what a distraction it could be to souls who are perishing. But we pray that they might be like that man, Eric Liddell, we've thought much of tonight, who turned and trusted in Christ and set his affections on things above, the things that really matter, the things that count for eternity. Father, now we give thanks for this time. Bless us, our Father, as we part, that we might go forth rejoicing in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our God, that he has finished the work that thou gavest him to do. We bless thee for him now, in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.